Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
From a veruca pool here on the 304th floor of Paradise Towers, here on a planet that can't even be bothered to have a name, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, rumoured to be the only Doctor Who podcast in existence to be made by three men in primary coloured jumpsuits simultaneously trying to beat off a Henry Hoover. I am Paul Yellow Kang Litchfield. And joining me as ever are Tom D2-3899 subsection 7 Neenan and a Rezzy in a Fezzy, because I bought it from him as a Prezzy, John. So, throw yourself down a fire escape because Paradise Towers is shit. Asphyxiate yourself with a bin liner because Paradise Towers is shit. And remember that Paradise Towers is shit because Paradise Towers is shit. Because it's time to visit Paradise Towers because it's shit.
I can't wait for the scores later.
Yeah.
Hi, chaps.
Hello.
Hello.
Just when we thought it couldn't get any worse than Happiness Patrol. Do you know what? And it's often been said between Whovians, I think even Tom has mentioned this before, that these two, the Paradise Towers and Happiness Patrol, are almost exactly the same pointless story.
I've always thought that. Yeah.
But people always think Paradise Towers slightly pips it and being a little bit better. I'm not entirely sure about that. No. It's a bit like saying, what would you rather be repeatedly hit in the face with? A cricket bat or a baseball bat? And you're going, oh, well, I'm British, so give me the crack of the willow on me noggin. It just... anyway, before we get into the community service that is this conversation,
yes,
let me tell you a little bit about what was happening on television on the 5th of October, 1987.
Oh.
Oh, it started off, as all good BBC shows started off, with CFAX, followed by Breakfast TV, News and Weather.
Nice.
And then at 9:25, Comic Roots. Roy Hudd goes back to his native Croydon and meets Dickie Pounds.
Oh, who was a porn star.
Yeah.
On the bang bus. So tell me, Dickie, how long have you been a porn star then?
Jesus Christ. And then that was followed by something called Open Air. Oh. Eamon Holmes opens up the telephone lines to TV viewers and tries to persuade TV programmers to answer the questions.
Oh, God, is he easy? They're talking about how... What is his latest conspiracy, Eamon Holmes? He's like... Maybe he's an anti-vaxxer, isn't he? Or something.
Portuguese he's an girl. Anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
he's done an advert recently for some foot massager with his wife, Ruth. And it's the most wooden piece of utter tripe you've ever seen. I urge you to find it on YouTube. I mean, it's so funny.
It has to be said. He's punching there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean he's punching... I'm not saying he's punching her. Jesus Christ.
It took me a while to...
Wait.
I mean, he's doing all right.
I think that Ruth is absolutely exceptional and she's lumbered with...
Winnie
with
the Pooh.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh that smells at eel.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's some guff going on, but then at 1:55, a film called The Vessels of Wrath.
Ooh.
A comedy. Ooh, that's interesting. Oh. Where it just says this, where Charles Laughton plays a man called Ginger Ted, a snuffless beachcomber with a taste for alcohol and women.
Ginger Ted.
A snutless beachcomber.
That was the original name of Nookie Bear, wasn't it?
Snutless. Brilliant. Shut up, snutless. Oh, dear. And then 20 past 3 was Favourite Things. Sir John Mills talks about some of his favourite things.
Okay.
He also reveals his diet. I don't know how he reveals it. What, does he take a shit in his hand and show it? There you go, look, lots of fibre. And then at 5:05, Blue Peter. And I remember watching this because it was Expedition USSR.
Do you remember when they all went? Yes, they had mud baths and stuff.
Yeah, you see the tip of Mark Curry's penis.
is that Janet Ellis and a little leotard going in the mud?
Yeah.
Because that was very formative.
Oh, there you go.
Formative years.
Listeners, there will be more Janet Ellis.
Yes. Yes. She'll be making an apology at a Milk Bottle Tops. now, it says here for Expedition USSR, will Mark Curry, Karen Keating and Yvette Fielding be allowed to have any fun in Russia?
Not Janet Ellis then, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, she. I think she came in later, didn't she? Or she was before, or before, one of those before, two. Yeah. And then at 5:35, the Horse of the Year show with Keith Chegwin.
What?
Oh my God! Was he in the nude?
Yeah. Oh God! As if he didn't feel inadequate enough.
Him in high res wanking off a bit pony. Not sure anyone was ready for that. Oh, 7 p.m.
Checkers plays trot.
Hey.
Wogan.
Wogan at 7, then followed by 7:35 by Doctor Who, Paradise Towers Part 1. There is a
what
blur.
What time, sorry?
7:35.
7:35.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 7:35.
Right.
It's been graded.
Yeah.
The blurb says this: Paradise Towers might be a nice place to live now. If it weren't for the Kangs, the caretakers, and the Mark 7 megapodic cleaners.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You read that and you think, nah.
I won't watch that.
No, nah. I'll watch CFAX again. I've got it.
Go back to CFAX. Go back to tattooing CFAX on my arm. 8 p.m., though, everything is safe because just after Paradise Towers, that nasty taste in your mouth, you had Heidi High.
Yay!
Yay! This was a great episode. The staff take April to the cinema to see Bambi and find themselves watching a 1940s war film.
Yes, I remember that one.
It's fine, just walk out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, are they somehow trapped there? I don't understand. There you go. And then there's a bit of... And then at 10:10, Film 87. Oh. Barry Norman presents a rather scathing review of Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh.
That was also the year he went crazy, mad, angry about RoboCop.
Oh really?
He? Yeah, he was really disgusted by it.
Disgusted.
Too violent.
Yeah, he said it was too violent.
Too violent. Mm. Wow. Anyway, if you're watching BBC Two, from 9:15 to 1:30, it was Daytime on Two, which is a mixture of factual entertainment sort of magazine show and education, sort of lighter version of Open University.
Oh, yeah.
And it just had a variety of categories for like 3 hours. It was just the weirdest stuff they were playing. So it was there was a segment called Jobs and Young People. There's that one. And that was followed by Temp Jobs. What are they? What the hell is this?
What is one of these temp jobs?
And then there was this one. This is amazing. There's a program, a segment called Think About It, all one word.
Mm.
And the topic was, how does a jumble sale work?
I like the idea they've gone to one and kind of lifted up the bonnet.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's going on here?
Well, it's full of cardigans and... but how does it work? And then you had a segment called Crying with Roger Daltrey. Hi, I'm Roger Daltrey, and I've always been interested in crying. It's just, what the fuck is going on? And then a segment called The Arts, Painting with Bacteria. Painting with Bacteria.
Could have done that in Planet of the Giants.
Yes, good Lord.
And was then Bacteria a host of the word?
Well, Bacteria, you're going to paint for us now, aren't you? Yes. That's my impression of Bacteria.
I like that.
No idea if it's genuine or not. Mm. 3:15 was The Collectors.
Ooh.
George Thompson's been collecting butterflies since childhood. Now in his 70s, his enthusiasm hasn't once diminished.
Oh my, not once. Not when
not
he's asleep.
Not fucking once has it diminished.
Oh, God. There you go. It's a living hell.
That was followed a bit later by a documentary called A Look at Ireland. Ooh. Tonight, Galway Hookers.
Oh, God.
I bet there was a steep uptake to do that one.
I'm going to watch this program tonight, Doris.
Oh, God. gosh, take the buddy out for a walk. I feel like some factual entertainment. Doris, can you book us all day to Galway? Fucking now.
Normally go to the old curve, Brian.
No, I'm going to Galway.
Then at 7:30, open road. On the waterfront, local people in Hythe muck about in a floating spectacle of themselves, dressed as garden gnomes or queens.
What the fuck is going on? But listen, there's a lovely palate cleanser. Something decent finally turns up in 1987 on BBC Two, because at 9 o'clock you get the film The Jerk.
Oh, yay, fantastic.
Ain't that lovely? Wonderful. And that's followed. The last programme is on at 11:30 called Issues.
Issues. Mm.
Professor Arthur Marwick compares the issues of today to the issues of Victorian Britain. Different issues or the same issues?
Issues.
Anyway.
I mean, that's so dry, you could have it with cheese.
Speaking of which, here's something you can have with diphtheria. And a trip to fucking any local suicide booth. I'll dig the tap. It's time to talk about... Christ on a bike, why did I choose this? Paradise Towers.
Yeah, why did you choose it?
Because the last time we all talked about things that we all really liked, so then I decided that we needed to put a stop to that. And we'd already tackled Happiness Patrol, and I thought, because I always get them confused, I thought it's time to finally distinguish what's so different. Turns out not fucking much at all.
No,
not really.
It's almost the same plot. A dystopian society that are fucking imbeciles.
You're like, how does this operate on a day to day?
How does the economy work? How do they eat, drink? Do they pay bills? Do they get? Does their plumbing work? Because they just wander around going, scaredy cat. Some of them just go, should we be cannibals today? Why? It's just.
Some of them don't know men exist, so how did they happen?
How does it all fucking occur, this thing? What should have happened is this should have been a 2-minute episode. The TARDIS appears over Paradise Tower. The doors slowly open. McCoy's ass slowly slides out. He does a massive 22-minute shit. End of Paradise Towers. Well, that's what it should have been.
We should mention this. This is his first proper story after
this
Time
is
and the Rani.
Big adventure.
I mean, God.
Christ on a bike. So we open on a woman who's running around and hiding and looking confused, and she's wearing yellow. And you think, oh no, what's happening with her? Cut back to the TARDIS. Mel's looking at a swimming pool in Paradise Towers with the Doctor gang. It's one of the most impressive pools in the universe. And it looks like a fucking swimming pool in a local country club. It's just, really? That's the most impressive fucking thing. It's got plastic lino chairs. Jesus, make some fucking effort and make it look sci-fi. Make it look infinite. Yeah. Do something. Give it a shimmering look, a crystal light. Do something. No, it's just a fucking Pathé newsreel shot of a fucking swimming pool.
It makes the one at the beginning of one of my favourite stories, Midnight, you know, where Donna is by like this. And you're like, oh yeah, that looks amazing. I'd love to be there. Yeah. This is just like, oh, okay, sure. That looks like a...
I mean, you mentioned it earlier with Veruca's. That's all I could think of.
Yeah,
really tawdry 80s swimming pools that
just
you had in every leisure centre.
Yeah.
So we cut back to the scared lady who now gets murdered, but we don't see why. She just goes, oh no, oh! And she's so lucky because she's out.
Doesn't have to be in this anymore.
Yeah, good on her. Anyway, cut back to the TARDIS and the Doctor's deciding... Mel is fucking insistent on one thing throughout her entire storyline is, I want a swim and I will fucking murder anyone in my way. Until I get a fucking swim.
No,
and it doesn't matter what happens to me in the rest of the episode. If cannibals try and eat me, gangs try and kill me, and robots try and kill me, I've got a fucking Groupon offer and I'm using it. It's just insane.
The Doctor mentions they had one in the TARDIS.
Canon that there's a swimming pool in the TARDIS.
Mm. Yeah, go in there. And it won't have a massive fucking yellow plastic shrimp in there.
But doesn't he say he... Took it out to get cleaned or something?
Anyway, we get a lovely materialisation. The TARDIS appears. Paradise Towers is sort of set up to be this absolutely beautiful sort of haven for the rich, and it's got all the facilities in the world. But when they turn up, it's all rats and rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all rats and rubbish.
Someone's red high rise, basically.
Yes, J.G. Ballard's high rise. Yeah. Yeah. And then they go for a walk. The doctor, for some reason, doffs his hat to some fly tipping. And you go, okay, and then suddenly a dart hits the wall. And you think, oh, no. Oh, oh my gosh. And it cuts to a member of the caretaker
Wilson,
who looks like one of Hot Gossip on Patrol. Who spends the entire 10 minutes of his episode talking to Chief Controller.
Oh,
and going, 8.93-95. Oh, just shut up.
I mean, that's amusing, and I'm using that word delicately.
Yeah.
Once.
Yes.
Yeah, once.
Yeah.
Once.
Like, oh, you're a slave to the rule book kind of thing. Yeah. We get it. Yeah.
So this caretaker wanders around and he finds a scrap of what looks like the of the lady's clothes, who was a bit scared at the beginning. You don't know who she is yet, but she's a member of the Yellow Kangs. But don't worry, folks, we never ever see them again.
Mm. Nope.
But don't worry, we've got the Red Kangs and the Blue Kangs that I would systematically kill with a fish knife and a toffee hammer, because 5 minutes with these fucking arsos is enough to make anyone turn into a fucking lunatic.
I wanted to kill myself when they said what the names were.
Oh, Binliner. I'm Binliner. I'm Fire Escape. I'm Pessary. I'm stood on Lego. Ow.
I'm sanitary towel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm corkscrew that has not been used for 5 weeks and is found accidentally behind the Encyclopedia Britannica. Christ, you fucking people. Because I think what we're led to understand is that they're not the indigenous people. They arrived somehow on Paradise Towers.
Well,
you don't really know how.
Are they like left over from when all the
leftovers?
Men went to war? And then
something like that. It's very unclear.
And yet they don't know
what
men
are. A war with who?
It's very unclear.
Yeah. The doctor now meets the Red Kangs, and the Red Kang leader does some fucking body popping with the doctor. It's immediately tedious.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh my God. And the Kangs hate Mel, I'm presuming because they know all about her. I'm presuming it's just because she's in blue, so they just think she's a blue Kang or something.
Yes.
I don't fucking know. Meanwhile, caretaker Hot Gossip's still on patrol. He's been tailed by a blue Kang, but that's of absolutely zero consequence. Because suddenly a robot, or possibly a tease maid, or whatever the fucking thing it is, passes by with a yellow Kang leg sticking out the back of it.
These things
and
are
you're supposed
fucking
to be
embarrassing,
frightened.
aren't they?
It's a fucking Stanner stair lift with a corkscrew on it. It's
what
just
I don't understand is they're meant
awful
to be cleaners, right? Mm. Yet their two apparatus are a sort of drill.
A drill
and a buzzsaw. Yeah.
Yeah, a drill and a buzzsaw. They're most ideal tools for cleaning.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like they're only
it should be a fucking chamois on the end of a broom. And a bucket of water.
Yeah,
do
yeah
your job.
It would be scary.
Yeah.
It would be scary, wouldn't it? Mm. So now we finally cut to whoever's on the end of the caretaker 98341. And you think, hurrah, it's Richard Briers. Everything's saved. Is it fuck saved? It is not saved at all. I think even I was reading just on some of the notes about it all that the producer at the time were telling Briers to tone it down because it was a bit hammy. Look at everyone else in this. It's not even an Amdram thing. It is worse than that. It is. We've mentioned it before, like school assembly sixth form plays. It's just the most tedious, right? Scaredy cat, scaredy cat. Sorry, come over here and let me punch you repeatedly into another TV show. It's just fucking appalling. Ay, ay, ay.
At this stage, I would like to point out that there is a... If I watch this on BritBox, the Blu-ray is coming out. If you want Doctor Who high-rise things and that, there is an amazing film on BritBox called Downtime, which is sort of very... It's very similar to this, but it's just... It's basically Paul McGann descending a tower block. And it's very good, and it's a lot better than this.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd recommend
what
it.
What kind of Kang is he, Paul?
Shaka Kang.
A McGann Kang.
Because we should mention that they keep saying that Red Kangs are the best Kangs.
They are the best Kangs.
Oh, my
Kangs.
God. No, the blue Kangs and the men Kangs. Do you know what? In a minute, you're all going to be brown Kangs in a minute if you don't shut up. Jesus Christ. Anyway, caretaker 983 is cornered by robots and murdered, but you don't see it happen because it's not possible to murder someone with just plastic fucking spatulas.
When you're moving that slowly.
When you're moving that slow and there's fucking snails passing you by. Yeah. I
mean, do we think there's just some poor fucker in a wheelchair with that thing put on top of him? That's what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't put it past this society because they haven't gone any further than 4-year-olds in an infant school. Mm. I mean, how this society has even worked, I don't understand how it works, but there you go. Mel manages to give the Red Kangs a slip and is befriended by two lovely little grannies.
Aww.
Who invite them into the house and immediately hide bones. And you think, for the love of fuck. And at this point you think, I am now watching a primary school panto that's been done by someone on ketamine, because it's just, it just makes no... It's just it's so hard to be invested in any of it immediately. You're just going, this is so... is this now...
It's not very...
Like
it's
children's BBC. Yeah. Is it just being done like a panto
it
thing?
Made me think that maybe, because it's Elizabeth Spriggs, who is the witch in Simon and the Witch, and maybe this is canon and that she'd eaten Simon.
Right, yeah. And then you've got Onslow, which is Hyacinth Bouquet's brother's wife. Mm. Who's also here? Would you do anything than rather spend 5 minutes at Hyacinth?
Mm. Yeah.
At this point, he's still really posh, but also a cannibal.
Yes. and Brenda Bruce.
Yes. Yeah. They're all in there, hamming it up like fuckery.
And you just know Elizabeth Spriggs has said, give me funny teeth because I can do something with that.
Yeah, I could do funny teeth.
It's quite annoying.
So
you never believe any of it exists beyond the sort of few seconds that you're watching it, do you? You don't believe
No,
really don't.
Exactly. Paul's bang on. It feels like a cheap CITV show from about half
three. It feels like it was done as a bet. I'm just expecting everyone to go, gotcha, every 5 minutes. It's just awful.
You have to put yourself in the mind of Sylvester McCoy, though, at this point, thinking, what have I let myself really?
Does it get better? Yeah,
really.
Marginally.
Yeah. It gets more confusing and a lot darker.
It gets more confusing. Then it gets a lot worse. Yeah. So Chief 983 is murdered, and lucky him, because the cleaning robot turns up and is about as menacing as one of Enya's farts. It's just, it's just awful.
Stay away.
Yeah, back at Cannibal Granny's house, the acting in this, and also it doesn't help that Bonnie Langford is all, oh, that tea would be lovely. It's all just like, what the fuck is going on? There's no one gone onto the studio floor and gone, can you all just stop it for a second?
There's no actor giving
Do
you
it
like
properly.
A baseline of like, here's what normal people are like in this world.
Yeah.
Everyone
Especially
is
when that
it.
Fucking cunt Pex comes in.
And suddenly, the door's knocked down and in comes Pex.
Christ alive.
Who hasn't even got one dimension to his character.
No.
He hasn't even got that.
Wasn't he meant to be played by Arnie or something? Wasn't he like originally it was meant to be like a sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger type?
Well, that makes sense with a name like Pex.
Pex.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's a weedy little accountant.
But he talks like this. So you think he's meant to be heroic.
He's like, I'm heroic and I'm going to protect you, Mel.
I looked him up. Right. I looked him up. He did this and like one other bit of TV and then went on to be an agent.
Good.
Oh, fair enough.
Hmm. Yeah.
So,
unbelievable.
Probably be nice then, just in case we need to call him up in the future. Yeah.
He breaks down the door to the Resi Granny's house, and they act like he does this on a daily basis. So I don't know where they're getting their spare doors from, because again, this is a society that at one point the doctor gets a lemonade out of a fucking vending machine, and they lose their shit. Mm. They cannot believe that the magic man has done something like that.
And
so
we have to watch him open the lemonade. We have to watch him sip the lemonade and go.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
This feels like someone's watched Adventure Time and gone, let's do that, but with 10 quid.
Yeah.
So Mel goes, oh, I'm going to leave now, and your door's been broken because of some plot. I have to go anyway. Yeah. Bye-bye. And the Granny says, oh, do come back because we'd like to eat you. Oh, sorry, did we say eat you? We'd like to... Oh, God. So then Mel wanders around forever now with fucking Pex, who's like, oh, I'm Pex, who bends a lamppost to impress her.
That's hilarious, because as he goes to... get it, it falls off the wall.
It falls off the wall. And then it cuts back to Dean Chief Caretaker, who's now pretty much, oh, have you, butler?
And is that Mark's dad from Peep Show?
Yeah. Cabbage is Christmas!
Yeah.
So he's good in this, by the way.
Yeah,
he's good.
I think he's the only one in this that is good.
He's all
he sort
right.
of escapes with a, yeah, because they're all
a
given
bit, a
that
shred
exact...
of dignity.
Shred
exactly.
Of dignity. A shred of dignity. So now you get this, you get what is the worst thing about these episodes is that it's just cut to walking around here for a bit, nothing happening. Cut to here, no. nothing happening. Mm. Cut to the doctor who's finally bought to the chief, who thinks that he might be the great architect. So you finally think, oh, there's some plot happening here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there isn't.
No.
Because he goes, oh, that's good, you're the chief architect, kill him. And that's the end of that episode.
Yeah. Even though surely Briars would know he's not the chief architect because he knows where the chief architect is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but does he? Because he's all like, hello, my pet, my little sweet. And the chief architect at this point is a tumble dryer with some neon eyes going, feed me.
Feed
and you're like,
me.
That's the great architect. How did he get to that point? What the fuck is going on here?
Because it's looking for bodies or something. Like the great architect.
He wants bodies, but he's been doing it for years because all the cleaning robots are just killing people indiscriminately. And then Byers must know he's complicit in this. Hmm. And yet, what he wants. It doesn't make any sense.
The motivations really are very, very screwy in this, aren't they?
He's an architect that was prevented from being an architect. We don't really know why. The people decided to make him into a machine?
I mean, who the fuck read this script? Like, Lathan Turner. And was like, this is good, we'll make this.
This is fucking
this
ace.
Is a rejection letter. Yeah. This really is. It should be a rejection letter saying, no.
Yeah.
We don't want to make this. It's terrible.
Hi there, I'm Yasmin Akram. Join myself and my friend Philippa Dunn each week for our podcast, We Heart Worry, a show about cars and their engines. Obviously not. It's a show where we talk about our fears, our worries and our anxieties in a bid to help you with yours. And we just have a laugh as well. So join us. There's nothing to be scared of. I promise.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the cliffhanger to this is execute him. And then it ends with, oh no, don't execute him, I've got something to do. Guard him, will you? And this happens three times. Briars, I've got you now, great architect. Oh, I'm just going to go and do some admin somewhere. 3-4 incident. Guard him and don't do anything stupid. These are supposed to be the elite caretaker guards.
Yes.
The best of the best. Mm-hmm. And the doctor goes, can I have a look at your rule book? And he goes, yes. And he goes, oh, there's a rule here that you've got to stand up, put your hands on your heads and let me escape. And they're like, oh, well, I suppose we better remember. Come on.
Come on.
This is just so fucking tedious and childish.
I'll tell you a fix I would have done, which would have been, I don't know, is that basically, because I think they've made so
burn the BBC to the ground?
It's like, because the Paradise Towers is awful and clearly it's meant to have gone down to, you know, rack and ruin.
Yeah.
But then why do the caretakers care so much when it's clearly shit?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I like to think that the Paradise Towers itself is just a giant section of where the Happiness Patrol is.
Yeah.
It's just another strata of the society that's folded in on itself to infancy and madness. And all the doctors should do is just turn up and, as I say, do a 22-minute shit on them from a high orbit.
Well, this would make more sense if there were more than four people in the towers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It feels incredibly empty and like there's no energy in it whatsoever.
Wouldn't it be
there's
better
just
if like
nothing.
The top of Paradise Towers was still very lush and
yeah.
still like brilliant?
The high rise, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
And that's, yeah, like high rise. Yeah, and that's where the chief architect lived in opulence and luxury. Yeah. Something.
Like a sauce.
But no, you mean he's a like giant he's a giant bread bin going, feed me.
You mean like some sort of critique about societal structures and, you know, being poor and rich? No. That would be interesting. No, that's not.
No, we're not even going to do that. No. Not even going to do that.
No.
Jesus Christ. So Richard Bryan's like, oh, I'll execute you later. I've got to go. I go, hello, my little dove pet, my little boy. Feed me. Oh, come on, my little. What the fuck is all this? Jesus Christ. The doctor then, because he's escaped by going, you guys put your hands on your heads, like Simon fucking says,
and then
runs away.
Is it?
That's embarrassing.
Mm. Yeah.
Runs away. And then suddenly he's been cornered by two cleaner robots who again go at -4 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could out fucking lay them. You could lay on the floor and grow quicker than they can fucking catch you.
It's like being mugged by Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
I want your coat, your boots, and your... Hang on, this is Terminator now. Unbelievable. So the Doctor...
Well, like,
yeah, go on. What's annoying is four episodes of Paradise Towers.
But, like, the Doctor could have been really clever and actually, like, found loopholes in the rule book whereby he could have escaped. Mm. Instead, the Doctor does a clever thing, which is he just lies. Mm. Like, it's if he'd actually used the rule book properly, because what they'd have gone is gone, no, that isn't in the rule book, that's stupid. We're not going to do
that. Well, tell me what is in the rule book. Yeah, get some information off them.
Exactly, and use it against
them. He uses
them, going,
it as an opportunity to scarp her.
Yeah,
and then
now
he ends
what
up in Red Kang headquarters.
Down. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Pull your trousers down, bend over, and wait for the cliffhanger.
or even more clever, the Doctor showing up for the rule book, so how it is just words, he could have written a rule in the rule book and said, but it's in the rule book, so you have to let me go. That would have been more clever, but no, it's bollocks.
These people are so stupid. These people are so stupid. They take everything literally. He could have shoved the rule book up his ass and said his ass was at library.
And then
it just doesn't
chase
matter
me and
at
off.
This point. It bends over and shows everyone his hardback. It's just... that's so fucking simple. How have they got through a day, this group of people? I don't understand it. So the Doctor now ends up with the Red Kangs and just get a flamethrower and torch the fucking lot of them. How can you spend a minute with these people? You're fucking adults. Behave like adults, you idiots.
Sex
it's just
music.
Unbelievable.
Sex
all right. Music.
Is this the point where we bring up sex music?
I'm going to bring it up. I'm not going to say which person it was because that's probably not fair.
Yeah.
No. But one of the Red Kangs.
Yes.
I should also point out, before I get to that, Fire Escape.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Fire Escape? No, Bin Bag.
Bin Liner.
Was married to Turlow at the time.
Yep.
And together they had a little toilet duck.
But one of the Red Kangs, and I won't say which one.
Yeah.
I thought, I've seen her before in something. So I looked up her name on the internet.
Yeah.
And the only reference I could find to her was her...
On the dark web.
On the dark web. Was her... Oh, should I say this?
Yes!
I don't know.
Was her YouTube.
Yes!
Was her YouTube page. And I had a quick look.
Yeah.
And she had was playlists. And one of them was 2 hours. And it was called Sex Music.
Sex music.
As Tom rightly pointed out, 2 hours, fair play.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Good Lord.
Oh, Red Kangs are the best.
Yes. Yeah. So,
Red Kangs are the best, apparently.
So the Doctor's with the Kangs, and then the guards have been following the Kangs. So the Kangs go, you let the bad guards to... And he goes, no, I'm a friend, look, and makes and produces lemonade, and they think he's a god. And it's just... That's been laying there for years, and you never once turned it over. What have they been eating? What have they been doing? Are they all... I'm surprised they're not just all covered in shit. They don't understand what toilets are. How have they survived this long?
Yeah.
But anyway, cut to Briars going, oh, get you, Butler. To no one, because he's like, oh, the regulation 38498. Cut to the Blue Kangs now, who are doing some tedious shit. I think they're worshipping litter or something. It just makes no sense. Yeah.
They're wobbles.
And Mel is still going, well, you know, we need to find out what's happening. She actually says the line, what's happening here in Paradise Towers to Pex? That's what she actually says. And he just shrugs like, I haven't got a fucking clue. And we've actually rehearsed this. The Doctor is captured again by the caretaker who break down the door, and he's taken to Chief Architect, and he's like, ha-ha, this time I'm going to kill you. But again, goes, oh, there's a 9834-7 situation, and leaves again. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And I can't even remember. I can't even remember what the fucking cliffhanger is. I just can't remember.
I mean, let's look on the bright side. It's not like, you know, it's not like these addicted to rules, sort of very fascistic people. It's not like the leader of them has a Hitler moustache. Like, they wouldn't be that obvious, would they?
Not that obvious, no.
No.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God. So Briars then tells off the guards. Hey, you've let him escape, you fools. You should have done a 9834. Oh, abandon it, please.
Yeah.
Mel gets split up from Pex and ends up back. She sees the little old ladies. And she's like,
I wonder at what point the actors realise that, like, they memorising the exact numbers that are in the script is a fool's errand, and they can just say whatever the hell they
anything
want.
Anything you like, because nobody's checking.
Absolutely.
I mean,
even Ian Levine isn't.
He's not. Doesn't care.
Well, he did smash up his telly.
Yeah. So
you've got 10 minutes now of, I'm going to be with the caretakers, I've escaped, now I'm with the Kangs, but I've escaped, now I'm with the blue Kangs and escaped, now I'm with the red Kangs and escaped. Two throw. Mel has split up from the Doctor from the first episode, and she doesn't see him until the fourth episode.
Just
running around having an independently dull adventure with the dumbest man on earth. She finally has a bit of respite, sits down to have crumpets and tea with the lovely ladies, and she goes, thank you very much for having me. And it is literally like watching just, oh my God.
It's like Teabag.
Yeah. It was actually, who was better in Happiness Patrol.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. And she's like, well, I better go now. I've had my lovely teddy bear's picnic. Mm. And they're like, I'm afraid you can't go, dear, because we're going to eat you.
And they put a shawl. Knit. Yeah.
They put a knitted shawl around her and a toasting fork. Yeah. And that's the fucking... Gee, and then it should have been an apology on the BBC. 4 fucking days.
I want Biddy Baxter, even though she's got nothing to do with this, apologising like she did for Richard Bacon.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention possibly the worst bit of all happens before that, where the caretakers are hunting for the Doctor because he's escaped twice now. And they're searching for him in what looks like a picture of him that's been drawn on a potty.
Oh, yeah.
They're holding this implement. Yeah, it's not. They can't be arsed with a computer screen. It's like a sticker of him on a potty.
What the fucking hell?
It's just, come on, make a modicum of effort at some point anywhere in this. This is the point. A modicum of effort is never made with anything. Script, sets, nothing. They just cannot be arsed. Anyway, so we cut back to Mel. Oh, they're gonna eat her. And what is it? She goes, "Don't eat me." And they go,
"Well, Pex comes through the door."
Oh, Pex comes through the door again, does he? So the same thing has happened.
One of them
now.
Get eaten at the sink.
They both do. Yeah, both
one backs off and they get dragged into the waste disposal by, I'm presuming, the robot caretakers.
I mean, thankfully we don't see it because it would have been very unbecoming.
Last shot is a pair of frilly knickers.
Yeah.
And just blood and guts.
We do see later on a harrowing reminder of that image of an old lady spontaneously combusting.
Oh, yeah.
She's got
like
one foot
leg,
with a slipper sticking out.
Yeah.
Like
a slipper. Yeah.
Really
absolutely.
Miserable.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, there's like four residents of Paradise Towers now, aren't there? There's like, they're all dying.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so, her name's Tabby, I think. She gets dragged down the waste disposal, which is also impossible due to the size of her and the size of the waste disposal. Pex breaks in again, and then the other lady goes, oh, you shouldn't have done. Oh, I'm being dragged in there too. Bye, I'm not in it anymore. And that's the end of them. And then you get shots of the cleaner robot. Feed me, I'm a hungry hippo. It's just, oh, God. Now the caretakers break down the door to the Red Kang, the Red Hand Kang gang, their HQ, and they seize the Doctor again.
I mean, I must say, these are the best scenes because they have Mark's dad from Peep Show in them. And, like, he is I think he's the most watchable. He's the one who's really pitching his performance between cartoony and real. And I'm like,
yes, trying to find a shred of something. Just trying to find something.
Yeah.
Mel, meanwhile, finds a map of Paradise Towers. And there's the most tedious 10 minutes of her and Pex going up a lift. down the lift. Oh, down is, to the basement, the most dangerous place. Sorry, the lift's going up again now. Oh, so that's utterly, utterly redundant. Brilliant.
Yep.
And finally gets up to the 304th floor and gets to see the most beautiful sight that in the known universe. An 8-foot by 10-foot fucking pool. In a fucking...
That looks like it's got shit in it.
Yeah,
it looks really like does. The fucking filters haven't worked in 2 years. It's just
I love the way
awful.
It's dressed. It's clearly just a swimming pool from a leisure centre.
Yeah,
and yeah, put a with couple a palm of plant.
Yeah,
palm plants and some metal recliners. It's
and
just
a couple of pillars.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing grinds.
There is
nothing
a bit of
really...
jeopardy in it in the lift where the lift, Pex kicks the lift and the lift falls. And you think, oh, is that going to be. Nope, nope. It just slows down and they're fine again. Fine. And he kicks it again
like
and it goes off.
It reduces the plot than the fact that someone can literally just go, oh, I'm not. The plot's paused now and I'm going to go for a swim. Like nothing undermines the.
This is the most unbelievable aspect of it, isn't it? Is that Mel now thinks, well, fuck it, I'm still having a swim.
Yeah.
I still want some me time, some leisure time.
Well, I guess because, like, when you go, oh, you're going to go for a swim, and she's like, oh, no, because there's... What is happening?
So, and she goes for
missing,
a swim in half of her own clothes. She goes, that's the bathing suit for me.
Yes,
Half of my clothes. And then gets attacked by a giant fucking Henry Hoover potted shrimp thing.
How does she not see
most,
that?
Yeah, which is awful. It's fucking massive. It's so big.
It looks like a bath toy.
Yeah, it really does.
And it's so ineffectual. It doesn't even touch her. She's screaming and screaming and screaming. 5 minutes later, she gets out the pool. She's bone dry.
What is the purpose of that thing as well? Like, the cleaners are meant to be cleaners, but they kill people. What is the crab, yellow crab thing meant to be when it's not killing people?
I think it's supposed to be a pool cleaner, maybe. But again, with
maybe.
Claws.
With claws. Yeah. For no reason.
Everything has been built to not do the job. It's just unbelievable. So there's a big sort of Mel
wasn't
screams.
Such a great architect after all, was he really?
No, not
well,
really.
Again, the whole thing of the architect is like, this architect's not very nice. Is he not? I don't understand. Let's trap him inside a machine? All right, sure. Then. Is he still human then? No, we fed his brain waves into it. What? You can't even do up shoelaces, you fucking brute. How did they manage that? I just don't understand it. And also, what was the architect? Why was he so bad? Because he was like, he was amazing architect. He designed buildings all around the universe,
but he's
the doctor says.
He hates the fact that people live in them, which is...
He hates the fact that people live there?
Yeah, like, it's sort of a nice idea, almost a nice idea, which is like, oh, an architect who loves buildings and stuff, but hates the idea that people have to exist in the buildings. It's sort of like almost a fun thing, but it's not really explored in any way.
No.
No.
So you cut from Mel having a fight in a pool and Peck's just looking at her like, I don't know. And she's like, give me a gun, you prick. And he's like, and then it cuts to the Red Kang and the Blue Kang meeting, and they scream and shout for what seems like 2 minutes.
Red Kang and the Blue Kang had a race.
All the Red Kang did was shut his face.
All the brain wants to do is shut this down. It's just
awful. The plot is gone.
And you think, maybe Mel struggling in the pool is going to be the cliffhanger. Oh, no, because the doctor gets grabbed by one of the cleaners and does some classic... McCoy gurning by a pathetic claw that can't even quite go around his neck. It's just so ineffective.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. This you can tell it's a golf cart that they've just put some plastic over.
Some poor fuckers in that.
So that's the cliffhanger. The doctor gets grabbed by a pathetic hook. It comes back and the cleaner just lets him go. Lets him go. Like, I'm not going to kill you now for some reason. Oh, God.
He showed him his ass.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. No. And then you find out that the great architect has actually got a name. He's called, is it Croagnon?
Croagnon.
Croagnon. And he's now summoned the chief architect. You know, oh, my pet, my little. So he treats him like a pet, doesn't he? My little boy. And then you think, and then he goes, come here, hungry. And you think, oh, no, that's the end of Briars. And my God, Briars should have been killed because what happens next? Is embarrassing to the point of mania.
Oh no.
He comes out like Gumby.
He comes out covered in silver paint, going, like Mr. Creosote.
Yeah.
Who's not used to being in a body now, so he lumbers. It's just so.
Better get
awful.
A bucket, I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, I'm going to second it. Yeah, well, don't worry, because we put the script in the bucket first.
The yellow one. the yellow sort of pool cleaner thing, what I love the fact is that's dispatched by just unloading bullets into it. Like, there's nothing clever. It's just shoot the shit out of it until it stops being a threat.
No, and not one of them hits Mel, and you're like, it's a shame. Never mind. Even the Doctor at this point goes, we don't know Coragonon's plan. And we're all screaming at the television. Nor do we!
No.
We don't know anything.
Leave Paradise Towers. Just leave it. Why are you all staying here?
Unbelievable. And then the Blue Kang and the Red Kang turn up to the top of the floor. And they're like, transfixed. But then they stop being transfixed to taunt Peck. Scaredy cat.
A place they could have gone at any time, right?
Yeah. And if I was Peck, I would have gone, I've got a fucking gun. I will shoot.
Doesn't it turn out, though, that Peck was like a war coward?
It turns out that apparently when these people turned up, he didn't go to war, so he was a coward. And he's been making up for it ever since by wandering around bending lampposts or something. I don't know. So, he's a bit of a coward. He's like waving a white feather. But they don't mock him horribly. It's just scaredy cat. Poo breath. Poo, poo, poo. It's just so fucking playground taunts. It's just like, fuck off. It's just awful. So then the Rezzies turn up to the top floor.
Two
remaining Rezzies in cardigans and, like, we've knitted our contact lenses. and they all decide again, Doctor Who always turns up when the society is just at the peak of revolt.
Lucky.
And they're like, well, we should all get together and stop whatever's happening, even though we don't know what it is at all.
Yeah.
And they're like, yes. And the Kangs go, we're not working with Blue Kangs. And the Blue Kangs are like, we're not working with Red Kangs. And you're all just, you guys are going to learn to get along. And Peck goes, I'll be a hero for once. And the Rezzies go, I know what we'll do. And they decide they're going to knit, what is it, jumpers or something, and throw them over the fucking caretaker. That's their contribution to what is essentially a war effort.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to knit tablecloths and cover them. Fucking hell.
There are 20 people in the, like, combined with Red Kangs.
In 304 floors.
If they couldn't overthrow the caretakers and everything else, then shame on them, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Doctor now thinks, I need to finally confront the issue, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so does a video call to Bryars. And goes, nah, 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 nah. And he's like, I'm going to catch you, Doctor. Why? Why?
Yeah,
no.
Why to what end? This? Yeah. He doesn't even know that he's a Time Lord. Or he's done. It's just why?
Why couldn't the great architect? Why couldn't he have been gone into the body of a cleaner? Like, he's already a machine. Why couldn't he have been a cleaner and then he'd be invulnerable?
Yes, exactly. Why does he started off as a person, somehow got put into a machine by the most idiotic people in the world who don't even know what fucking fingers are, and then spends months collecting people, finally decides on the chief architect, who's helping him by feeding him in the first place, and goes, no, I'll finally inhabit his body.
Baffling.
And then why? Because I want to keep this city but with no one in it. Well, you're now in it. What? Where are we? Yes, the Kangs, Mel, Pex, and the Rezzies decide that enough is enough, and they decide to turn on the cleaners. Yeah, they've got a crossbow that goes pip. They've got some tablecloths that they go ha 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 ha. And it's just really for the love of God. And the Doctor decides to set up a booby trap because he's already lured Coragnon somehow, for some reason best known to him, that he's rigged up a booby trap, which is just a tripwire down into the Red Kang's headquarters, which will blow up. Jesus Christ. And even Bri's like, that's a trap, I'm not falling for that. And the Doctor's like, oh no. And so Pex finally grows a pair and sacrifices himself by pushing himself and Croagnon across the tripwire. Kaboom!
And we're supposed to feel sad by this.
Pex is gone.
And then Pex somehow gets sort of celebrated then, doesn't he, as a sort of war hero. And they build some fucking junk.
Well, like, every time someone dies, the Kangs wander around an erection.
Yes.
Saying something.
Sex music.
Yeah. Doing sex music. And this one, they're walking around saying, Pex, Pex, Pex.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pex is hailed as a sort of honorary
Let's
tang.
Talk about Pex, baby. Baby. Let's talk about you and me.
And then, which should have happened, the Kangs go, "For you will always be remembered, Doctor, as a red Kang and a blue Kang." Because he's got a reversible scarf that he should immediately take a long shit on and then set on fire.
But he never wears it again, so...
Yeah. Thank you very much. And literally just goes throws in the
bin.
It to the fucking
Literally
floor.
Enters the TARDIS, slings it into the bin.
Yeah. Literally, huge pedal bin that he's had there for years. Full of shit.
It's got that book from Black Orchid in it.
It's got a Polaroid of Tegan who we haven't met yet on the top. It's just... And the Doctor goes back to the TARDIS, and again, we forgot to mention that the exact same thing happens in Paradise Towers that happens in Paradise Victoria. It gets graffitied on. Yeah. And he's like, have you cleaned off the graffiti, naughty Kangs? Cool in the Kang. And they go, yeah, we've done that. Yeah, we also had tins of identical fucking TARDIS coloured paint. And everything's back to normal. And you just go, why, oh, why did you ever turn up here? And then they get back in the TARDIS. And I can't even remember what... Oh, yeah, the TARDIS dematerialises, and then there's this utterly pointless piece of redundant graffiti saying, Pex lives.
Pex lives.
And you're like, who gives a shit if he does? It's just, it just doesn't. And Jesus H. Corbett, that was Paradise Tower.
What should have happened there? It says Pex lives, and a dog should have come along and just pissed on it. Popped its leg and...
They do a partridge, and they change it to sex piss.
Sex music.
Cock sex piss music. Then it ends.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my.
Wow.
Giddy God.
I feel good in a way. We've exercised the two demons.
I'm glad we've done it. But listen, I'm sorry. I would rather watch Paradise Towers. I'm sorry, I'd rather watch Happiness Patrol.
Yeah.
Again and again at the Nuremberg rallies being held by Hulk Hogan. Than have to watch Paradise Tower again. That it, we rightly gave Happiness Patrol a good old drubbin. But there's more plot in it than there is in this. There is more plot.
Yeah,
more satire certainly.
And more, I know it's heavy-handed, square peg, round hole. But this just has nothing redeeming about it ever.
It's like a really rancid fart.
Oh my God. Words fail me of how appalling it is. It's just so bad.
What are we going to score it out of?
I got to a point where I started writing hate mail to myself because I was watching it.
Yeah.
Should we score it out of the, the thing in the swimming pool? What did you call it, Paul?
It was just let's score it 100 plastic potties with Doctor Who's sticking on it.
Okay. Well, yeah, Paul, you're first.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when we talked about Happiness Patrol, John gave it a 0. Yeah. I was kind and gave it a 5.
Right.
And I'm not going to be as kind. I'm going to give it a 1.
A 1.
I won't give it a 0 because it's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But I hated every slim shit of it. So much. It made me so upset. It made me so angry. Because I can't even say it's saved by some good performances, because it's not even saved by that. The baddie is ill-conceived and doesn't make sense. The plot doesn't make sense. Everyone there is tedious to the point where I would willingly, do chokey. I'd willingly go to jail because of the anger I would have taken out on them. They don't deserve to live, any of those people. They don't deserve it.
No.
They got everything that's coming to them. The Doctor should have just turned up and went, no, you made your fucking bed, you lie in it.
The Doctor should have turned up, gone back in time, got Fred Dibner, come back and demolished the whole fucking thing. Just put the plunger down. Do I have the right? Yes.
As I said, it should have been a four-parter of an arse sticking at a TARDIS in high orbit and 22-minute episodes of a thin, reedy McCoy fart. And I preferred that. It gets one plastic potty with the sticker of Sylvester McCoy's face on.
John.
John.
Well, I'm pleased in a way.
Did it do better than 0?
We'll find out. I'm pleased in a way because the two episodes I always get mixed up with this and Happiness Patrol.
Right.
So I'm pleased that we've done them, so I don't have to think about that anymore.
They're the same. They're the same as well.
They are
almost
the same.
Identical.
Yeah, in so many similar themes and elements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's fucking abysmal. I mean, there's nothing about it that's good. So I'm going to give it -4.
Wow. Right, now we've introduced a scoring system whereby we can go subterranean. There's
minus
no stopping
four.
Us. Wow. Right.
Tom, save Paradise Towers. Because at the moment, it's on -4. No, it's on minus three.
Guys, I'm going to shock you. I don't mind 100. As much Paradise Towers. 100.
187. What? How has this happened?
I don't like it. It is bad Who, but there I'd say okay. I think
Tom, I'm going to say this. If you give it more than 10, I am going to go to your father-in-law's house and burn your fucking TARDIS. Carry on.
I should be cautious. Mm. I think the lighting is good. I think there are some shots
God.
Which are quite
That's
good.
That's like going to Dignitas and going, the breakfast was lovely.
I don't know about the dinner, though. I was dead by then.
The lighting was good.
There are some bits that you're like, oh, that is quite good. And also Mark's dad from Peep Show, I think, is good in it. Okay, keeping within the limitations that you have set, I'm going to give Paradise Towers 8.
Oh, so that means it gets 5.
5.
I think that's definitely our lowest one.
It's fucking lucky to get it.
Mm. It is. So 5 potties with Sylvester McCoy's face on it.
Did our listeners agree, or are we just going to get a litany of positivity from people?
Let's dig in and find
let's
out.
Let's find out, shall we? With points of view.
Yeah.
Tamara Bumdia says, Kang the Kang, down at Paradise Towers. Let's put on a show here, kids. Could have been 2 episodes shorter with the amount of plot. Briars is wasted. My son lost count of Mel screams.
He isn't used or he's drunk.
but she's giving it 38.
Jesus H. Corbin.
Tim Coleman says, Paradise Towers, a.k.a. Happiness Patrol, set with 3% more plot. Tim. lesbian cannibals. Obviously evil, helpful robots and pecs going boom are fun, but acting is Amdram or OTT. Needs Paul Eddington to walk in, suit and tie, whiskey in hand, look at Briars, do a double take and then chuckle. hang on, next one. Twitter's down at the moment, apparently, so it's being a bit slow.
It's down.
Ben Thomas says, all hail the great architect. There are inexperienced actors in this giving weak performances and experienced actors giving good performances. And then there's Richard Pryor's giving his Gumby off Monty Python having an acid flashback performance. All hail. Fun fact, Roger Daltrey of The Who was originally considered for the role of Deputy Chief Caretaker. Edward
Hardwick. He's too busy crying.
Edward Hardwick, Watson off of TV Sherlock Holmes, was cast, then dropped out due to be replaced by Clive Merrison.
he read the script.
Yeah, he played Sherlock Holmes in the Radio 4 adaptation.
Wow.
Hang on. Paradise Towers, Crinoid Podcast says, nice of the BBC to give failed Grange Hill auditionees a crack at the Kang part.
Oh, God.
But cruel to film and broadcast Richard Pryor's having a stroke.
Oh, God.
Greg Newport says, Paradise Towers, the writer wanted someone Arnold Schwarzenegger-like, as mentioned before, to play Pex as a contrast to his cowardly nature. Arnie in Paradise Towers would have been hysterical.
He wouldn't have known what was going on, would he?
Andrew F. says...
If the author of this is still alive, I would like to go round his house, knock on the door, and just go, no. No. And then leave.
Stop it.
Andrew F. says, Paradise Towers feels like one of those early Pat Mills, John Wagner strips from Doctor Who Weekly, as with a lot of the 80s stories. So many great ideas, but the production can't do them justice. Bobby Peru says, Paradise Towers, Briars can fuck right off.
Okay.
Jesus.
Geraldine the Goat would have turned in a better performance. Michael Fier says, Paradise Towers is a bold story that holds back Richard Briars as a dramatic reveal. Becky says, Paradise Tower is a story whose plot is based on the fact that Mel wants to swim, when her previous story was set on the planet of lakes.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, oh, yeah. In Time the Rani.
Time the Rani.
Yeah.
Hang on. Oh, Colour Horizon says, I thought Mr. Ken Shabby and Sylvester McCoy needed time apart after the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah, well, we've done it now. We've had we sort of... Yeah,
we've done it.
Is that all correspondence?
No, there's more.
Oh.
Chris Schofield says, Paradise Towers, the Doctor and Mel appear to... the way it's written. The Doctor and Mel appear to have landed either backstage of the Robot Wars or the set of Nightingales. Bloke playing Pex appears to be basing his character on Pat Sharp. Less said of Richard Bryars, the better. The only peril I felt was Mel shattering my wine glass. God, there's loads about Paradise Towers. Sorry.
Really?
Nick H says, I always have liked Paradise Towers. It's a PG version of High Rise, but it's let down by overlit studio lighting, all contracting with your...
Oh, there you go.
And the OTT performance of Richard Bryars, but it's still under rated. No.
It's not. Also, the people bang on about the massive performance of Bryars. Extended to everything in that. They're all just so ridiculously over the top.
Jeff Waddle says, there's a few very good ideas behind Paradise Towers. Unfortunately, the ideas were eaten by those two old bats in the flat. And so the script had a hurriedly rewritten to include war machines, cousins that nobody speaks about, and a Hitler Amdram cosplay. And finally, Nicholas Bruff says, Paradise Towers was a good concept, executed badly. Could have been good, sadly wasn't. Some bloody awful acting, like the robots. Thank you very much for all your correspondence.
Thank you so much.
There you go, boys. We've done it. We've done it now. We've got those two done.
It's finished.
We never have to speak of it again. Yeah. This podcast is cleansed. We're done. So thank you very much for going through it with me. And thank you very much, everyone at home, for listening our little podcast. Do keep on with the correspondence at Wheezing Groaning. Any art, we also love. If you just want to just draw a pile of dead Kangs, please. Just draw everyone involved dead for me.
Oh, yeah. I should thank Michael Fuhr, who's been doing some lovely little drawings.
Oh, they're brilliant.
Oh, lovely,
absolutely episode. Brilliant.
So, yeah, keep them coming.
Yes, please.
We'll be back with a third. And then after that, we will reveal the next themed Wheezing Groaning. So until then, keep on wheezing, keep on groaning. It's goodbye for me, poor yellow Kang Litchfield.
It's goodbye for me, John Red Kang Rain.
It's goodbye from me, Tom, section, well, subsection four, Neenan. Until next time, Pex lives!
Pex lives!
McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.